Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You know, we all have blessings. I tell you, we were talking about in our deacons' meeting, our church and giving and the offerings and things like that. You just can't outgive God. Folks, you can't outgive God. I've been praying every day, Lord, send somebody my way that I can talk to about the Lord. And yesterday, we was in our men's breakfast, and a guy came by, and he needed something, so I was able to get out and skip Bill's message and talk to him. But you know, the moment he walked through those doors and I saw him, it was just like God said, okay, that's the one. So I went out with him. He was asking for the pastor anyhow. And I said, man, God, you never cease to amaze me what God can do. And he was needing some money, so helped him out there and got to share with him. I don't know if he'll ever come to the church or not, but I got to share with him about Christ and what he means to me. And folks, that's what it's all about, sharing Jesus Christ, putting your faith in him. He's God. Man, he just works things out in such a marvelous way. I didn't tell Rhonda this, so close here. I got a habit of helping people. I just love to help people when I can. And there's a young man and his wife. I always watch what people are buying at Walmart, and they bought some groceries, and they didn't buy cigarettes, and that's always a plus. And they didn't have wine and stuff in their cart; that was a plus. They had food, but as they were sitting there shopping, and he was counting out his cash, we got to the end of it, and he said, "Well, you know, you're gonna have to put this back. You don't have enough money." And God just said, that's the one. I said, ma'am, go ahead and give it to him. I'll pay for it. And that guy said, why would you do that? I said, because God told me to. And I said, he loves me and he loves you. And they thanked me and hugged me and went on out. And I said, God, thank you for the reaction. And I love to do that. I don't have a lot of money, but I love to do that. Because I believe God gives you stuff so that you can give it away. And when you quit giving and quit being obedient, God shuts the doors. And went home, and we were looking through some papers, and 2012, guess what? God showed Rhonda $200-something she had hid back in those papers. Lost. She didn't lose it. She knew where it was at, but I said, praise the Lord. You know, he always comes through, folks. You give, he gives you. And I thought, when I didn't tell her that, but I thought, when if I hadn't done what God said, would we have burnt that with all the other papers? Possible. She was about to grind it all up. And I just said, thank you, Lord, for being who you are. And that brings me to the message we have. Listen to what the Bible says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it speaks to our heart. We thank you that we serve a mighty God. We give you praise. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that needs a blessing, God, just let them open their hearts to it. Lord, speak to our hearts at the point of our needs, and God, we give you praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Jesus says, call unto me, all ye that call unto me, and I, Jeremiah, let me get it straight. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I believe that with all my heart. There's nothing too big that God can't handle, folks. And this passage of Scripture, now to him who is able, it says, God is able. God is able what? To do. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. How? Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, I want us to see some things about this passage of Scripture. So many times, we as God's children are afraid to do what he asks us to do because we think sometimes if we do what he asks us to do, then it's going to cost us something. Well, I know something that God always blesses according to our obedience when we are obedient. But this passage of Scripture says God's amazing ability. Right here, God's amazing ability. Paul writes, now unto him that is able. Now, we can stop right there. Now, unto him that is able, with just that statement. And that would be enough said, wouldn't it? Now, unto him that is able. I'm reminded when I think about to him that is able, that the actuality of God in our life. You see, Paul says, to him that is. That reminds me that God exists, folks. He's not a figment of our imagination. God exists. Now, some would argue about God existing tonight, but Paul simply declares that God is. And according to the survey, Barnes Research, 12% of Americans do not believe in God. That means 87% say that God exists or he's a creator of the universe. They believe that. The others, the Bible says in Psalm 14:1, says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that speaks to them. Now, those who believe there is a God often are considered as uneducated. They think we are uneducated, but the Bible says the truth is unbelievers, they're the ones that lack the intelligence. You see, I told this years ago, and probably most of y'all weren't here at that time, but when I think about the intelligence and the belief in God, I think about the teacher of the first grader who said to her class that, listen, children, I want you to know before we start this year, I am an atheist. And she asked the class, how many of them were atheists? Well, most of them didn't know what an atheist was, but all but one little girl raised her hand. And the teacher said, little girl, what are you? And the little girl said, I'm a Christian. And the teacher says, why are you a Christian? And she says, well, because mama and daddy are Christians. And I became a Christian. And she said, that's not a reason. What if your mother and daddy were morons? What would that make you? And she said, an atheist. Well, from the mouth of babes, you see. But Paul says, folks, the actuality of God, God is. You see, I believe that God is. I'm not an atheist. I believe that God created everything that we see out here. God created. I like to go out in the mornings and sit on the back porch and look up at the stars. Now, they were out this morning. It was kind of in between the clouds, but they were out this morning. There's such a beauty in looking up at the stars and just thinking about God. And I like to just get out there and I sing some hymns. And Rhonda says, you know, you're going to wake up the neighbors. But I try to sing low enough that my neighbors on the left-hand side, you know, I don't sing for him, but the neighbors on the right-hand side, I don't care if I wake up or not. They need to get up anyhow. Y'all don't know they're my children. But the actuality of God, you know, we can sing about God because we love him. And not only that, the ability of God. Look at what it says. God is what? Able. Jeremiah 32:17 says, the Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thy arm. There is nothing, God, too hard for you. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. Now, friends, our faith tonight rests on the truth that God is. Not only that he is, but he is able to do everything that he says he will do. And folks, he will do that. Now, that's the amazing ability of God. When you pray and ask God to send somebody your way, you better look for that somebody, because your path's going to cross. You better be ready to witness. You better be ready to talk. Otherwise, you're going to say, God, why did you do that? And he's going to say, because you asked me to. You see, I believe that with all my heart. God does what we ask him to do if we ask in faith. Now, not only do we see that, but we see God's abounding ability. Look at what it says. Paul says, God is able to do. Now, that's just a small word, isn't it? Do. Just a little two-letter word, do. Yet when it is connected to God is able, it describes the infinite God that we have. God's ability has been described as exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think. That describes everything above what we can even think about. Our minds can't comprehend all that God is able to do. There's a song came out a few years ago, I Can Only Imagine. I can't sing that song, so I'm not going to try. But I can only imagine God's unlimited ability. It's just measureless. We cannot measure it in our minds. We cannot think about how great God is. It means above and beyond all. It's impossible to measure out the ability of God. We don't have room to measure all of that. I read an article about the atomic bomb. You know, we hear about right now North Korea, and they're trying to get a missile and an atomic warhead on that missile that can reach the United States. They want to reach the United States and be able to send a nuclear bomb over here. You know, that shows they're not too smart. But, you know, they got one. They're trying to develop one when we've got thousands. It doesn't seem smart to pick on somebody like that. But you know what? I was thinking about the power of the atomic nuclear warhead. They say the one that we dropped on Hiroshima years ago was like 20,000 tons of TNT, and it just destroyed the whole city. It just, you know, vaporized that city. And we thought at that time, what a bomb. And yet today the nuclear warheads are just far more powerful than one of those. It would do damage to a whole state or a half a nation. And friends, it's hard to comprehend something that powerful being exploded. Yet when you think of our God and how great God is, that is just a little drop in the bucket compared to his unlimited power that he has and the ability that he has just to speak the stars into space. Man. And Paul says, abundantly. It speaks of how God's ability, we can't even think about it. It's so great. You know, we can't comprehend that with our minds, God's ability. His ability is beyond our imagination. Have you ever thought about, as you look up in the stars, how he did that? And we think, well, we can't, in our lifetime, we couldn't drive from one star to the other or fly from one star to the other at the speed of light. We couldn't get there in our little lifetime. And yet our lifetime is so short and we're so small. And yet, can you imagine that God loves us so much that he would send his son to die for us? You know, I can't imagine that. Yet the Bible says God loves us. And I believe that because I see how he interacts with people and how he interacts, like Teddy said, with his daughter and with many of you who have been through situations. God is concerned about us. You see, we're not just out here to do our own thing. No, God's got his hand upon you. It's no accident that I walked in there in a place like Walmart behind that certain boy and girl. It was no accident. That was God's divine will leading us there to that point. You see, I believe that with all our heart. If we walk through our day and we ask God to show us things like that, he will. I don't know how he does it, but he does that. Oh, it's no luck involved. It's God working. And then we see the possibility of human expectation. Paul adds that the ability is above all that we ask or think. First, we cannot ask for something that is beyond his ability. You just can't do that. He's got the ability. Oh, second, we can't even think of something that would be beyond his ability. Somebody said, preacher, you think we are going to make it as a church, you know, the finances? I don't have to think. I know. I know. It may look bad, but I think God is putting us in a place where we're desperate enough to really seek his will and ask him to intervene. You see, so many times we get so comfortable doing everything on our own that we seem to leave God out. And God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to depend on me. And folks, I remember back when we started this church, they said it was impossible. How 85 people could borrow $325,000 and pay it back in less than 3 years. It's impossible with us, but it's not impossible with God. And they said, preacher, it's impossible. The bank didn't even want to loan. Well, they wouldn't loan us the money. That same bank, we went back to them, and they said, well, our convention said, oh, you can't build a building like this with the people you got. It's just unheard of. You'll fall. You'll fail. Now, that's the Christian leaders telling us that, and I want to say, where is your faith? You see? And I just... so ignorant, I didn't know, I guess. You just got to trust God. And yet God did that. And not only did he do it, he did it in a record amount of time, folks. That's God. It can't be explained on paper. It just don't work out. You can't figure on faith. Faith does not figure on paper. It just don't work that way. God says something is so, and you have to believe it is so, so that it'll be so. Now that's faith. Don't be afraid to ask God for those things that we need. Oh, we have a lot of needs, don't we? It ought to encourage us when we pray to bring out our petitions to God. Now, if you've got a someone that's sick, pray for that person. You know, don't be afraid to ask God for healing. It may not be in His will, but don't be afraid to ask God for healing. Don't be afraid to ask God for that lost person. You know, it's God's will that all might be saved. So pray for that lost person that they might be saved. Maybe it's a husband or it's a wife or it's the wayward children. Don't be afraid. They may be going down the wrong road. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. There's not one person in here tonight or out here tonight that's too hard for God to save, folks. I tell you what, God is able. Isn't that what the Bible says? He's able to save to the uttermost. He is able to win that person to Christ. I've had people say, well, you'll never get him in church. He's and give a list of reasons why he won't come to church. And you go out there after you pray and God leads you out there and you talk to that person. And he said, sure, I'll come to church. And they come to church and they join the church and they get baptized and get saved and they become one of the best members of your church. And somebody said, what in the world happened to that old boy? Jesus is what happened to that old boy. God is able. It says, now unto him that is able to do. There's not a person too hard. There's not a case too hard that God can't solve that. Also, we need to add our problems to that. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of problems. You know, some of them are up here, but that's all right. God's able to take care of those too. You know, I don't have a problem too big for God. I just don't have it. You know, I've just been praying about some things that in our household and stuff, and I've said, God, now, you know, this is up to you. It's really up to you. If you don't want this to do, just don't do it. But, you know, to me, I'm just going to let you do this according to your plan. And you know what? His plan's always better than mine. And it releases me of the worry. You see, I shouldn't be worried about it. And if I turn it over to God, then it's God's problem, not mine. And that's the way He works. Now, that declaration of God's amazing ability and the demonstration of His abounding ability just blows our mind away. But listen what He says. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God's available ability is displayed in our life. Did you know that? His available ability is to be displayed in our life. His power worketh in us. That worketh speaks of God's ability as living, as active in our lives. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is His power, is His work active in your life? Over in 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul's speech and preaching was, he said, my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words. No, of man's wisdom. It wasn't my wisdom, he said, my speech and my preaching. But it's demonstrated in the Spirit and the power, he says, of God. That's what I preached with. It wasn't my words, he said, but the power of God in my life. Now, let me tell you something. I can see Paul. Paul was evidently a pretty educated man. And yet, in his ability, he couldn't do anything without Christ. You see, are you seeing God's ability being demonstrated in your life tonight? I can't answer that, only you can. What is it in your life that cannot be explained except or apart from God? That's a good question for you. What is it in your life that just can't be explained apart from God doing that in your life? You see, our lives are to reflect Jesus Christ. Our lives ought to display Christ. You know, when somebody like the boy said, "Why did you do that?" There is no reason why I would do that except God. You see, because that is not our nature, is it? Our nature is stingy. Our nature is to be selfish. Our nature is not to give. But when God gets a hold of your life, all you want to do is give, you see. You want to give first the testimony of God that worketh in you. Is it displayed in your life? Everywhere you go, you're either showing people Christ or you're not reflecting Christ. And you know what? I've seen a lot of Christians, or I've seen a lot of church members who call themselves Christians. Man, it embarrasses me to be around them. It's not you. Those that are not here, you know. I got out of that pretty good, didn't I? But you know who, you know what it is. When we go out and we act like a bunch of heathens. You know, when you go, the little girl's trying to serve you at the table, she's doing the best she can. And you're rude to her. Don't give her a tip. You're not hurting anybody but God and His witness. You know, somebody said the other day, and you ought to ask them, you know, is there anything we can pray for you? We're going to pray. You have a need in your life that we could pray for. Man, they know right then. I'll tell you what, you'll get better service because you've broken down a wall, you see. What does your life reflect? It's on display. And then he says, a desire in our life should be active. Do you desire him to use you? Think about it. Some of our guys, two of them, came back from Louisiana. Brother Dennis and Eddie. And I know the blessing was theirs. Oh, it was a hot week down there, I'm sure. It was probably pretty rough. But a desire for him to work in them, the blessing was all theirs. You see, we don't have to go very far to see that. We just ought to see that in our everyday life. That God desires in your life for you to be used. And God is able to do that if you will let Him do that. If you'll get up in the morning and you'll pray, Lord, send somebody my way today. Don't let me be rude. Don't let me be ugly. But I desire to do something for you today. You know, He'll let you. Don't be afraid to ask Him for the great and mighty things in your life. If you're doing what He asked you to do, if you're living your life like that, saying, Lord, show me where I'm to go, show me what I'm to do, don't be afraid to ask Him for the things that you need in your life. He's going to bless you. He's going to do great and mighty things. Trust Him. Simply trust Him. Don't be afraid to let Him prove Himself in your life. You can do it. Listen to this. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For His grace and power are such, none of us can ask too much. Don't be afraid to ask God to use your life. Man, I tell you what, there's no greater feeling than to just let God use you. It may mean giving something away, but oh, what a blessing. Because when you give, then God gives back. He does. Now, don't give with that in mind. Just give because that's what God would want you to do, expecting nothing in return. But I guarantee you, God returns are greater than you'll ever know, with peace in your life. Hey, you may have a disease in your life that is dormant because you're being a blessing to God. Have you ever thought about that? God is so much in control of our lives. In this body, everything about it works according to God's will. I don't have to worry about it. I know that I overeat, and that's wrong sometimes. All of these things, but God's in control. Any sickness that I have, God's in control. I'm going to be at peace about it because I know that God's in control. A couple of years ago, I had those kidney stones. Man, they hurt. But I had peace about that because I knew God's in control. You see, everything works according to what God will. And if He calls me home, don't feel sad for me, brother. You rejoice because God's got me where He wants me to be. And that's what we ought to be every single day. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that we ask or think, above all that we ask or think, according to His power that works in us. Is your life a display for Christ? And do you have a desire just to serve Him for whatever it costs? Serve Him. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, the greatest gift you can have and receive is Jesus Christ. You have to, by faith, come and say, Lord, I realize I need You in my life. I don't have that. What that preacher's been talking about, I don't have it, but I want it. And I'm going to ask You to come into my life. The moment you ask Him, He's going to come in. He's going to be there. And He's going to change your whole life, your attitude. You know, Daddy used to give me an attitude adjustment. But boy, when I got saved, God gave me a real attitude adjustment. I used to have a hot temper. You can ask my wife. I used to blow fuses just faster than my old car did. But man, when God got a hold of me, that all ceased. I hardly ever get mad anymore. It's just, you know, it's not worth it. Maybe you need that kind of a change in your life and you want it. God will give it to you. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't been serving God like you should. You desire with all your heart to ask God to bless you and show you who you can witness to and change your life. Start doing things more for God instead of for ourselves. Just come and ask Him to. He's able to do that. Maybe you're here tonight and you're looking for a church home. And this is the place God's led you. Would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your blessings. All that You give us, Lord, we thank You so much for it. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that needs to get in the center of Your will, in whatever way they need to, Lord, let them make that decision before it's too late. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you